Okay, so...
All dead!
They're all dead! These pretzels are making me thirsty!
Well, I can fix that for you. I can whet your whistle.
Hi, everyone. Oh, shit. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the podcast. We haven't thought up a name for it yet. We probably will do that in this, the proto-podcast. It's like kind of a pilot, but I don't think a pilot's a good enough word for it.
No, this is completely without expertise, as a pilot may suggest.
Yeah.
We didn't go to school for this.
Well, no. A pilot would, like, assume we're making a series out of this. This is kind of a test to see whether or not people actually would want to listen to our voices for a lengthy amount of time.
Yeah, so, well, I wouldn't.
I would. I don't care.
That's the difference between you and me. You're okay living with yourself.
I have a YouTube channel, so, yeah. You know. Should we swear on this? Do you know people who would be listening to this? If you, like, sent them a link and they would be like, hey, if you swear, I don't want to listen to this.
Is it? It's full of profanity! I will not have this in my household. No, I don't know anyone like that.
Alright. Swearing it is, then. We can swear.
Great! Excellent.
But not too much fucking profanity!
Profanity?
Shut up!
Prothanos. Vote one ruler of the universe. Vote one Josh Brolin. Vote one purple dudes.
Vote two dark side.
Do you like purple dudes?
Yes. So I guess put in the comments below whether or not you'd actually listen to us. We're already telling them to vote, even though we're not even like a minute in. We're probably just like just over a minute into this thing.
Is this the podcast equivalent of... We can get 100,000 likes! I believe in you!
Yes.
We can do it together!
We can do it.
As a team, we can
do it. Well, I guess this, like, will just give people a good, a good guess as to what our
geezer,
podcast
a squeeze
would sound like if it were hosted by us, you know? Yeah. Funny voices and ramblings.
There's going to be a lot of pretending to be people from Only Players because
we like Only Players.
Yeah.
Yeah. No harm in admitting that you like a certain YouTube channel.
Imitation is the highest form of flattery.
I mean, one of my favorite YouTube channels, Super Mega, has their own podcast, the Super Mega Cast, which is very good.
Do they imitate Only Plays?
No, because they have the guys from Only Plays on it every now and then.
Because they've got their own voice and their own original content, they don't have to copy other people.
Well, we do that. We don't always copy Only Plays.
No, we don't.
In our old videos, we copied bloody everything.
Now sometimes we steal from different...
Sometimes we don't steal, we reference. Sometimes we make a few references to funny videos we've seen.
The best comedian knows all the right things to steal.
Yes.
Like Sid Caesar. Steal his stuff.
Okay.
That was my bell books.
Okay.
This is going to be the...
I mean, I started...
Imitation cast?
I started out by yelling out, these pretzels are making me thirsty.
Yeah.
So...
Old Jews, the podcast.
Well, I'm not Jewish.
And I'm not old.
You're older than me.
Yeah.
You're nearing 20. You're 20 in a few weeks.
Comparatively, I'm a...
Old man.
Yeah.
Old man of 20.
You're just a fucking right-winger stuck in your own world. You just... You don't...
A lot of burps, too, by the way.
Don't have time for the gays.
A lot of burps. A lot of... I don't want to... Put too many politics in this.
No.
Don't be. This isn't the political cast.
No.
No.
Can we, like, shit over Barnaby Joyce? Can we do that?
If you want to.
No.
Not too much, though.
Now that we've said that, I don't know where to go from there.
We'll get the wrath of Barnaby Joyce.
Oh. We'll go the way of Pistol and Boom. We'll get booted out of the country.
Mm. Yeah, I don't want that.
You can.
No,
bring...
I don't want that.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
What?
The Pumpkin Man? No, I don't want that.
I'm not familiar with that.
You keep talking about your shit while I look it up.
Because you can bring recreational amounts of drugs into the country, but God forbid if you bring fruit.
Okay, I can't be bothered typing it. No. No, I don't want that.
Does Siri recognize impressions?
No, she's... I want that. That's what she thought I said.
No, I want that.
No, I want that.
Please stop! Continue.
Okay, Hungry Pumpkin. I'll just play the 5-second clip of him saying, no, I don't want that, because it'll be very...
Get removed instantly.
No! I don't want that!
Yeah, here we go.
That! specific. It's not no, I don't want that. It's I don't want that. Yeah. He's passionate about something. He's seeking one thing or another, but he doesn't want that.
Yeah, Pumpkin is Hungry, I think, is the title of the video. Watch it in your own
time. What is he hungry for?
It's just this weird Flash game, I think.
For life!
Yes! So it's October.
Yes.
The horror month. The month that celebrates horror movies.
Horror?
Have you seen any horror movies, man?
I've seen a handful. The first horror movie that I went to watch for the intent of watching scary things was The Evil Dead, because I knew that my dad had it, and the cover of the VHS case looked scary.
And then you showed the VHS to me.
Yeah, I went, it's kind of doofy. It's excellent, but it's not the scariest thing that I've ever seen.
Mm. I mean, have you watched any good ones this month?
This month,
over the course of this month,
I've watched some things that gave me mad anxiety, but I didn't watch things that were intended to be scary. Like I watched a Baby Driver, and even though I'd seen it once before with this chat, when it gets into the meat of the film where bats is a prominent part, that's just when I know exactly what's going to happen. I understand where the plot's going, and I'm just thinking in my head, please just don't. Just make good decisions, please.
But that's
you're a good boy. You got a bright future. You're talented. Please, just do it for the girl. Do it for the mute black man. All right,
Deborah.
Do it for Deborah.
Deborah, played by Cinderella.
Is that the actress's name?
No, her name is Lily James. I think.
Oh, I'm Cinderella.
It's Lily James. She played Cinderella in the live action Cinderella movie. So
what if Cinderella?
That's like the only other thing she's known for.
What if Cinderella was played by a fat Irishman?
Oh, that'd be awesome. Played by Chris O'Neill.
Yeah. I need to be back by 12. I've got
that,
a brew.
Is that your impression of Chris O'Neill?
I've got a brew going.
I've watched quite a few horror movies this month.
Tell me about your scaries.
I watched Friday the 13th Part 2, which was decent. Yeah. It was okay. I've only seen 1 and 2, so both of them that I watched on a Friday the 13th.
How many parts are there?
Okay, so in the franchise as a whole, there are 12.
There are 12, aren't there?
Yeah. 12. Oh yeah, this is one thing to know about me, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't know who I am, like if you're watching this, just you've suddenly found this podcast, I am a big movie buff. I love watching movies. Ben would probably be more on the music side. He listens to music.
Don't you know who I am?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I'm a fucking rock star. I'm important. I know people.
Ben's an aspiring musician, and I'm an aspiring filmmaker.
I am a musician.
You are a musician, and I am a filmmaker. But, like, we aspire to be
aspire to be a good one.
Better, yes, exactly. And, yeah, so there are 12 in total, but that's including Freddy vs. Jason and Friday and the remake.
Okay.
But not including those two, there's 10. Because that's basic math. There are 8 that were made by Paramount.
Right.
First 8 were made by Paramount, and then once they got to Jason Goes to Hell, the final Friday.
Jason Goes to Hollywood.
Yeah.
Jason Learns to Cook.
Part 9. That's Jason when New Texas. Line brought the franchise, and apparently a lot of people say that that's when it started to become ridiculous.
Oh, is that when they jumped the shark?
They jumped the shark in, like, the 5th one, but, yeah. Because I've heard people say that like the first 4 movies are good to like round out the story, and then once 5 comes, it just feels ham-fisted and like everyone's just they're just forcing the rest of the movies. Because Jason died in the 4th one, apparently.
Oh yeah, well so. He died. Isn't the plot where like he dies? Isn't that why he is then the monster?
Well, apparently, I think because I've only watched the first 2, and in the first one, spoiler alert if you haven't seen these 30-plus-year-old movies, but the first one is Pamela Voorhees is the killer, and that's Jason's mother. Jason, his whole aspect of this film is that he was a child and he died. He drowned in Crystal Lake.
Right.
That's the only like function he has in the movie.
Okay.
He's not the killer. He's not a supernatural being. He doesn't return at all.
He is the catalyst.
He doesn't return until the very end, but in a dream sequence kind of thing. He rises out of the water to get the main character, but it's like a dream scene. It's not meant to be real.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I don't think the studios realized that, and so they decided, oh, you know what, we're going to bring him back. I don't know why they're Russian. We're going to bring him back, and he's going to be the bad guy. But I think the whole point was that he didn't actually drown.
Would you like to have been in the room at that time and go, hey, you know my favorite bit is when, you know the kid, when Jabel comes back, and then he kills people, excuse me? You know the bit where he comes back out of the... No, that was dream sequence. No, come on, that's dumb. We don't jive like that. Make me 10. make me 10 with the kid as the cow. I don't like the mother. The mother, she's too homely. She's boring. She should be home watching Wheel of Fortune. I make Wheel of Fortune. You know who doesn't watch Wheel of Fortune? Kids. They play hockey. Give them a hockey mask. Kill the kids. If they have sex, if they take drugs, kill them. Yeah. I don't want this in my film. I want blood. I want guns. But if there is sex in my film, then I will... I'm walking.
There's no guns in the franchise.
Well, I haven't seen
it. So he gets the hockey mask in the third one.
The third one?
The third one, yeah. He wears a bag
over his head. A Hessian sack.
Yes, a sack over his head. He's just some kind of like backwood hillbilly. Even though he doesn't talk, he's very deformed. He doesn't talk. And he's like, he wears the overalls. He looks like a hillbilly.
Yeah, well, I suppose that drowning underwater will change you as a man.
Yeah.
Does he come back bigger? Because I imagine he was a child when he drowns.
Well, yeah, he was a child when he drowns. You can't see the air quotes that I'm doing, but he drains as a child. Sorry, I'm messing up my words drastically. And
when it happened in Australia, everyone can swim by their time.
I guess either he lived underwater or he didn't actually drown.
Or they just decided that they needed.
And he's been he's got his own. He's got like a homemade house in the woods.
A homemade house.
So yeah, one is to assume that he didn't actually drown as a kid. And so I think the fourth movie, he dies.
Right.
And he's not the killer in the fifth movie. Some other guy takes up the hockey mask and takes on, becomes a killer.
They carry on the ghost.
Yep. And then
the ghost of the guy that didn't die in the first place, but then it did and he came back.
I don't know. And then in the sixth one, Jason comes back to life as a zombie thing. Like, this is actually him, like, come back to life as a zombie.
Okay, so this is where they acknowledge...
This is when they start getting supernatural.
Right.
Yeah. He's come to life by a bolt of lightning.
Okay.
The movie is literally titled Jason Lives, Friday the 13th, Part 6.
In case you missed it, he died. We're bringing him back.
And then in number 7, this is coming from a person who hasn't actually seen these movies, apart from the first two.
Right.
But I know, like, everything that happens.
I know you've done your research.
Yeah. I just like doing my research on the old horror franchises for some reason. Unless it's, like, ones that I... ones that are, like, you know, have got a good reputation... And that I plan to watch, so, you know, movies like The Thing or Suspiria, which I recorded recently, and plan to watch soon, or even The Reanimator, which I'm watching tonight.
Oh.
But when it comes to franchises like Halloween, for example, where the first two movies feature Michael Myers as the killer, and then the third movie has nothing to do with that story because they wanted to do a thing where each movie in the Halloween franchise was like its own standalone film, like it has its own Halloween related story, and that would have been an awesome franchise under the name Halloween. I don't know why I keep saying Hollywood.
Holly does ween.
Halloween. But that would have been a great franchise because they called it Halloween, right?
Yeah.
And yet it's specifically the story about a masked murderer murdering his family for spiritual reasons.
Right?
That doesn't sound like Halloween, does it?
Well, is the day... Is Halloween related to it?
The first movie is set on Halloween Day. That's right. The only actual relevance to Halloween that it has.
Okay.
Nothing else. So it could have just been called, Michael Myers...
It's Tuesday!
They could have just called it The Rampage of Michael Myers or something and then made a franchise based on Michael Myers.
Michael Does Hollywood.
Yeah, and then they decided to call it Halloween, right? Which then... Annoyingly, now they can't do Halloween-related movies on their own. They'll have to try and figure out a new franchise title to do that, which they did under, I think, Creepshow or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about lots of films or film series that seem to have more there is more content than there should be. Whether they are under contract in order to make
every
more films than they
horror
should.
Franchise.
Yeah, well, like for example, with Saw, Saw is not a franchise that I'm even familiar with. But I remember being in year 7 or 8, and someone saying, "Oh yeah, like Saw 7 is coming out."
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The final chapter. That's what it was called. Saw 3D, the final.
But
chapter.
But aren't there like 9?
No, 7.
I thought they
left it at 7, and they're really? Making an 8th one this year. Well, okay. They've made one; it's coming out soon.
Yeah. It's like, well, how many times can you do the thing? Like for example...
The thing is, though, with Saw, it makes sense for them to have turned it into a franchise because it becomes a great canvas for filmmakers to come up with brutal ways to disembody the... Or just discombobulate the human body, you know?
Yeah.
It makes sense for a franchise to be made of that, right? Where there isn't one specific killer. It becomes, like, the legacy of a killer. I think the story of the franchise works much better on paper than the way it was actually executed. The movies just became... Like, after the third one, the movies just became, hey, look at all the different ways we can mutilate these people.
Yeah, well, I would say that the difference is between... Like, if you look at games, if you look... The difference between a largely narrative game versus something which is a mechanic. So if you compared, like Heavy Rain compared to, say, baseball.
Hotline Miami. Like, actual video game. Let's just talk about video games.
No, I'm talking about games as a whole. So, like, if you compare something which is driven entirely about a person's experience where you follow their journey, the journey comes to an end, that's it.
So you mean,
where
like, quick time events, the game?
Yeah, well, I'm not talking about the actual, but... Where it is about the story, and once you complete the story, that's it. You don't do it over and over again. Whereas if you have, like, baseball, where it's like, okay, you hit the thing... And you run, and you can do that as many times as you want.
Yeah.
You see it with, you know, game shows like Survivor, where there's like 30 seasons of it.
Yeah.
Because then they don't just do one, they can repeat the formula.
Yeah.
But with Saw, it's they go, okay, there is a basic mechanic of there is a person stuck in a room, and they have to figure out a way to not get torn to pieces.
Yeah.
And that's a mechanic that you can repeat over and over again, sans story or not. Or you can insert a story, which then just means you can have as many as you want.
Yeah, exactly.
People can just go, guys, I have an idea. There's a tightrope, there's a small pit full of eels and sharks with lasers on their head. The person walks across, and if they misstep, they fall into the pit. Excellent.
Yeah.
Great. That's a film.
Exactly.
And then they go and they figure out 20 more ways to do that.
And then they just shove them all into the same movie, yeah.
Yeah.
Like at least they do attempt to keep a story going throughout the films, but unfortunately this story, I feel, even though I've only seen the first 4 movies, I need to watch the rest of them. The story, I think, works better on paper, or maybe these movies just have bad reputations because of the fact that they're just torture porn.
Yeah.
But the story, like, it revolves around, you know, the killer, Jigsaw. Like, the first 3 movies are good. I'd say they're a very well-rounded trilogy. The third movie is the worst in the trilogy. But the first 2 are, like, genuinely good movies.
Mm.
And the first one, you know, they revolve around a killer. Well, not really a killer, because he doesn't kill people directly. But a man called Jigsaw, or John Kramer. And he, you know, he had cancer, and he got better. And because of his near-death experience, he decided he wanted to make life worth living for other people who went into similar, you know, not really similar circumstances, but like, you know, people who are taking life for granted. And so he kidnaps them and doesn't actually, like, he makes these things, like, possible. They are possible for people to escape.
He puts them in a highly dangerous situation where
they can escape with their life. It is possible for them to escape with their life, but at great sacrifice.
I don't understand these villains that are meant to be a semi-relatable in the sense that yes, they are deranged, but they have some sort of an ethos behind it, which one can enjoy as a thought experiment. Like, for example, I watched a film last night called Wrong, and where the main villain...
I like that movie, though.
It's
one of
insane.
My favourites.
Where the main villain, he started a corporation which kidnapped people's pets so that when people realise their pet is gone and then they get the pet back, they realise how much they appreciated their pet while they still had it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that there are more examples of people where it's like, you are wasting your time. There is an episode of Red Dwarf where there is a guy who goes around and murders people who he believes are wasting their life. they have to justify their existence.
Just straight up murders them.
Yeah, well, he comes before them and he can, like, travel through time and do all sorts of shit. Okay. And he says,
justify your existence,
babe, because these people that have, you're one of millions of sperm that made it and they wasted their existence. And I think, well, fuck you. Who are you to tell someone not to waste their life? What if that brings them joy?
Yeah.
Who, you know, I get it's great that you've got a bleeding heart, but if you really want to do something and it's not about making yourself feel better by going, aren't I righteous? Look at me, I went to Calcutta and I helped a poor boy.
But yeah, with
those people, I think are bad villains. Personally, I think that it's poorly written because it's not the first time that we've seen it, and it's easy to sort of to just go, well, if you really wanted to help people, you could have done something that wasn't this.
Well, with Jigsaw, for example, like in the first movie, all the people that he has, like the two main characters in Saw, well, the two people who are held captive by the ankle. One of them is the doctor who diagnosed Jigsaw and said that he couldn't help him or something like that.
Yeah.
I need to rewatch it again. And then Jigsaw has an assistant in a man who works at this hospital.
Like Igor?
Yeah, kind of like that. His name is Zep.
Zep.
And Zep works at the hospital where the doctor, John, who's played by Gary Eales or something, the guy from Princess Bride.
Okay.
The blonde guy from Princess Bride?
I didn't see Princess Bride
before. Oh, okay. Well, anyway, he I think the character's name is John. I'll just call him John.
Alright.
And then, the other character is, like, you know, a good-for-nothing photographer who takes pictures of John. Right. And so, you know, they don't, like, he knows who John is, but John doesn't know who he is.
Right.
And, that's just, like, their dynamic. And, like, you know, the first Saw movie actually has, like, a good, family tree, more air quotes that you can't see, listeners. But a good dynamic within all these characters that are in the movie, including even the actual detectives, because they talk to John before he is kidnapped and all that. You know, Danny Glover, he's in this. In Saw. He plays one of the detectives.
When he was young enough for that shit?
No, it was 2004. But anyway, so with Jigsaw, all of his traps are beatable.
Oh yeah,
and you don't always have to.
Would be fun otherwise.
Yeah, and they don't. You don't actually have to cut off a limb, or you know, actually cause mortal harm to yourself.
But there are ones where it's like there is a key in the back of your head, and you have to pull your eye.
The thing is, he doesn't. The guy wouldn't have had to. If Jigsaw could put the key there without cutting the guy's eye out, then there was a way for that guy to get the key out without cutting his eye.
Well, he probably did it surgically. But if you pull your own eye, the idea, I imagine that. It's similar to the executioner from Red Dwarf, where it's the idea that they have to prove themselves worthy of their existence and of their life. So if they can get through, then evidently they are worthy.
Yeah.
And getting through this is the one test. It's not about them showing that they are good of character or they were impactful or if they had potential to improve. It's if you can get across this pit of needles, you're a good guy.
Speaking of pit of needles, that's actually one of the traps in Saw 2.
Is it like Kristen Bell?
Not Kristen Bell, but I can't remember what the actress in there.
Is it the petite lady from Becca?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that might be her name, but I remember the character's name is Amanda Young. She's one of the few people to actually survive a Jigsaw trap in the first movie.
Yeah.
In the first movie, I think he's only killed 3 people.
Did she get hepatitis syphilis from those needles?
No, that was the second movie. So in the first movie, she was a drug addict. Really down on her luck drug addict who had no reason to live.
Also, are the traps like ironic? They've got like some
stuff. No. As I said, the needle traps in the second movie.
Oh, right.
So her trap in the first movie is the reverse bear trap. Like, you know, the iconic reverse bear trap everyone knows about in Saw.
Yeah.
And basically her... Yeah, so she makes it out of that alive.
Yeah.
And then becomes kind of an accomplice to Jigsaw. But that's not actually revealed until the third movie.
Oh, so she actively helps him?
Or? Yeah. And then she basically becomes Jigsaw after that. Because the cancer kind of comes back. The brain tumor. And so in the third movie, they kidnap a surgeon to, you know, help him.
Yeah.
And Amanda Young has put like a collar on this doctor to keep her there.
Unfortunately, Amanda is a bitch, and she creates traps that are inescapable.
She ain't no good, boy.
Yeah. She creates inescapable traps. So all of her trap creations throughout the franchise are bullshit.
I have to say, dick move on her part.
Yeah. And so, throughout the franchise... Because, spoiler alert, Jigsaw dies in the third movie.
Oh, that's...
Right?
That's been...
But, we still get more clips of him in later films, either through prequel-ish clips or through playing more tapes.
Right.
And, so he recorded stuff for later?
Yeah, basically, he creates a... Indirectly, a cult is created that, like, worships him, kind of. And, like, he has this... Like, by the seventh movie, there's, like, this big cult following for him. And I think that's being expanded upon in the new one.
Okay.
That's coming out. Which is called Jigsaw. And I think a better title for the movie would have been Saw Legacy, which is what they were originally going for.
Okay.
Because it works. The whole, like, most of the movies after number three are about Jigsaw's legacy.
Mm.
And so, you know, a lot of his compatriots basically start making the new traps. And a lot of them become a lot more elaborate and shit. You know? Become a lot more elaborate.
Do they get, like, real Rube Goldberg?
Yeah, they really get quite Rube Goldberg.
Yeah, well, so that's the thing, which is
what makes the movies entertaining, you know?
Well, yeah, I would say that films of this type, let's call them sort of mechanic films, where they have a repeatable mechanic that allows you to, you know, churn these things out.
Well, yeah, like every slasher franchise.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's like a...
Or like the Fast and Furious
movies. It's like the Wipeout of films. Three. You know, you develop a course, it's got the big balls in it, you go, you see people fall, they get wet, that's the film.
Yeah.
So when you have a film like that, it depends upon the emphasis, and it's a similar thing for games as well.
Yeah.
But both of which are can be mechanic-driven or story-driven, depending on... If you have the emphasis on the story, and it happens to include a cool mechanic... then I think you have the potential for a great film.
Yeah.
If you have a repeatable mechanic and happen to glue it together with some story, then you have a recipe for something that will suffer sequelitis.
Yes.
And will end up being, we have 9 films, and it's just, you get to see the guy lose his head, or you see the guy blow up, or...
If they start to get a bit more self-aware and become a lot more fun, like the Fast and Furious...
Yeah, well, the Fast and the Furious becomes... is an excellent example of that, where they just get dumb.
Exactly. But they do it knowingly.
Yeah, well, and it can be entertaining, and it can retain the spirit. When the spirit they of the film is they drive fast...
Yeah, and they know exactly what they're doing with those movies, which makes them forgivable. Whereas with the Saw, with the first movie... It doesn't show many signs of franchise potential, because they don't put emphasis on the traps. In fact, I wouldn't even call them traps, I call them games, maybe.
Hmm.
But they don't put emphasis on the games. We see a few flashbacks of, like, two people that have died, one of them being a fat guy who had to crawl through barbed wire.
Yeah.
And then another person who was trapped in a room, and the key... to getting out of the room was in a safe.
Yeah.
On the walls, written in, like, ink that is only visible through, like, a naked flame on a candle, are thousands of combinations that this person has to try.
Yeah.
Of course, because he's using a candle, the candle will run out.
Yeah.
The floor is covered in glass, and he's coated in a flammable jelly. But no actual harm has been made to him before the actual trap. So but he doesn't, you know, make it. We see him die. And then the other flashback is Amanda coming back from hers. But other than that, like, those are just very, very quick clips. There's no real emphasis on these traps and stuff. It's only until the second movie that they really start putting a bit more emphasis on it. In fact, the first movie opens with the Venus flytrap. One with the key behind his eye.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is unrelated to the rest of the movie. And that's how they actually open the rest of the Saw movies, is they open them with a trap scene that is unrelated to the actual story of the movie.
Yeah, so when you can then predict what's going to happen, people will go, I wonder what the first trap's going to be. Oh, yeah. I bet it's going to be this. I bet they're going to do that. I wonder what the first trap is going to be. And then I wonder what that predicts for the rest of the film. Is that foreshadowing? Is that to do with the story?
The only... It's called a cold open, or even in some sense it's called a Batman open, because Batman comics in, like, the 60s and stuff, and even to this day, kind of now, they have, like, the first few pages are a, like, little Batman story that has nothing to do with the rest of the story.
They just throw you into a fight scene.
Yeah, exactly. And Batman makes it out, and it's just a quick little introduction to the character of Batman.
Yeah.
And doesn't serve any purpose for the rest of the comic.
Well, like, or with, even with the Dark Knight, they open with him going after the Scarecrow, and then
exactly, the yeah. Going. Yeah. But they do it with Batman the Brave and the Bold, the TV show. But every episode begins with a Batman case or Batman adventure that has no... that has nothing to do with the rest of the episode.
Oh.
And I think they might have done that with Batman the Animated Series, but I never watched that.
Is that the Mark Hamill as the Joker one?
Brave and the Bold or Animated Series?
I don't know which one.
Animated Series is the one with Mark Hamill as the Joker. Brave and the Bold is like something that was made for kids.
Hello, Bats!
Yeah.
I like him.
Was that your impression of Mark Hamill?
That's my impression of Mark Hamill doing the Joker.
Alright.
I don't know how to do like normal like, Mark Hamill.
He's like, hello, Bats! Or something like that, you know?
I thought he was a new. He had a bit more of a lilt in his voice.
No,
like the idea.
Well, Mark Hamill does the voice of Skips in regular show.
Yeah.
So he kind of sounds like that, but like you know, a Joker.
Mark
Hamill never ever sounds like that anyway. Even like in Return of the Jedi, he sounds like Skips. Like, it's time for the Jedi to die. Or something.
I don't
like
think he speaks. I think he speaks like a normal human being.
Yeah, but like he doesn't sound like him. It's time for the Jedi to die!
Emperor! I will not join you!
Do it! Kill him!
He's too dangerous to be left alive! We shall be done with him, shan't we, Annie?
Yeah. Yes, I will do it, okay.
I will do it, my Emperor.
Hello, Daddy.
He could save others from death, but not himself.
Isn't that funny? Aha! Uh-huh.
Have you ever heard of the story of Darth Plagueis the Wise?
Nope. Tell me, Daddy. Hello, Daddy. Hello, Daddy. Okay, Dad.
Suddenly, our Anakin Skywalker has become Bobby Hill.
Yeah, that's my dream.
I kill it. The men and the women and children too.
I'd love someone to just overdub scenes of the Emperor with bits of Bobby Hill.
What about Anakin Skywalker?
No, because the Emperor actually already does sound like Bobby Hill. It's like,
do it, kill him, okay, Dad.
You know?
With all your friends. Yes. Do it, execute Order 66. This battle station will become quite operational.
Execute Order 66, okay?
The clone army ain't right.
God damn it, Bobby.
God damn it, Anakin.
God
kill him.
Damn it, Plo Koon.
Do it. Kill him.
Just to backtrack just half a second, the idea of the emphasis on a mechanic versus story is a... Like with Game of Thrones, which is something that I've watched the first four seasons on, don't anyone say anything about anything beyond that.
I've never watched a single episode of it, so...
But with I have a mate who is a vocal critic of the show, having never seen it, because he thinks that it's overblown and it's nowhere as good as it seems, because people... pretend like it's gospel, like similar.
That's me with Jurassic Park. I'm not a fan of Jurassic Park because it's so overhyped. Everyone goes off on it being like one of the greatest films of all time, and then I finally watched it at age 15. I'm like, this is okay, but it's like nowhere near as good as people say it is.
Well, I think a similar thing with Rick and Morty, with people just like you know jerking themselves off over.
That's a very small amount of the fan base.
Like
unfortunately, every fan base has that
cancer.
Shitty. I don't want to say cancer because it's offensive to people who actually have cancer. I don't like using that term.
Well, it's no.
But what's
we're not
a better
talking about
term?
Them. We're talking about the growth that is
but,
taking
yeah,
over
okay.
their body.
Well, that makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah, every fan base has that.
Yeah.
That takes over the reputation of the fan base.
Well, because,
the
vocal minority.
Yeah, they don't actually take over the fan base itself. Most of the people who watch Rick and Morty are just regular people who just happen to like this really good and really well-written show.
Yeah, who don't scream...
Pickle Rick! I want my Szechuan sauce!
The people that...
I'm Pickle Rick! I'm Pickle Rick!
I tooted a bit. I pooted.
You image and pooted?
Yeah. Oh, God. Don't even say that.
Anyway,
With Game of Thrones, like how people will say that it's fantastic, and well, in fact, it's a good show, but it's not, you know, it's not Citizen Kane.
Mm.
That's another film that I've not seen,
Citizen Kane deserves the praise that it gets. I think
good.
I can definitely see a lot of people going, "Oh, it's a shitty
1940s film. It's in black and white. I'm not going to watch it. It's fucking boring.
But that's because, you know...
Just because it's in black and white doesn't mean it's artistic.
Yeah, it's... People these days fucking hate
watching... I mean, Eraserhead's in black and white, and that's fucking dumb.
People these days hate watching old movies just because they're boring, air quotes, you know?
What explosiveness?
Yeah.
Words, there's no tits.
Well, it's like all the people who hate good horror movies when they come out, like The Babadook or... Well, I mean, I can't actually speak for The Babadook because I haven't seen it, but movies like Oculus.
The Babadook shoots itself in the foot about 80% of the way through, because most of the film is suspenseful.
Mm.
Most of the film, you don't see the scary thing, and that's a big part of horror and something that people need to learn, or at least but take cues
sometimes,
from, like, Hitchcock.
Sometimes if it's like a movie like The Babadook and it's mainly a psychological thriller,
yeah,
then it makes sense that they don't show the beast.
And
but
that is
if it's
perfect.
Actually supposed to be a horror fantasy movie that actually has a creature, but the reason why they don't show us it is because, you know, the golden rule of horror is don't show the creature until the very end.
Yeah.
That then it makes sense that they would show the creature, you know.
Oh yeah, but it's
but
not
like
even
with,
that,
with
it's...
something like The Babadook where it's like very grounded in reality, then if they show the creature, I can
but the creature
see
is, the creature is Johnny Depp in a coat.
Okay.
Right? That's what it is. That, like, you're thinking, what is The Babadook? You don't know. It's got a funny sounding name to it. There's just, it's creepy. The child is hellish. You know, you feel for this mother, and then you get your Hunter S. Thompson's doppelganger. It's just at the end of it, and it's just.
Are you saying that because of Fear and Loathing?
Yes,
okay.
Just because Johnny Depp was.
Even though the characters look nothing alike.
It doesn't look like a real Hunter S. Thompson. It looks like. It
this
looks
really
like
Wonka looking ass, motherfucker.
Yeah, it looks like Edward Scissorhands at the end, and it's like, this was what I was scared of. Really, this cookie cutter looking motherfucker. This looks like something that Terry Gilliam pulled out of a newspaper. It's not scary.
Yes,
you ruined it. You shot yourself in the foot.
Yeah.
What was I saying about Game of Thrones?
I can't remember. You were talking about mechanics.
Yeah,
with
the mechanic emphasis, it's like where people say. You know, it's where it's got action and it's got fucking in it. Like, it has actual... It has...
Penis in vagina.
Yeah, there is sex.
We show what no other action movie has shown before. Pussy. Full penetration. that's from Always Sunny.
Good. I had a feeling
and
that
then,
was...
They're making Lethal Weapon 6 and they want funding, and they go, we're going to do something ballsy. We're going to make something that's never been shown in any action movie beforehand. Full penetration.
I want to see Danny Glover's long black dingus penetrating the soft purple asshole of Mel Gibson.
Okay, so with Always Sunny...
I want to hear that anti-Semite scream.
In Always Sunny, like, the gang has made... Lethal Weapon 5, just like as a group with like no budget, and they made Lethal Weapon 5 just as for fun with, you know, Mac in blackface. It's funny. It's funny because they're absolute morons.
Because they're bad people.
Yeah, that's the whole point of the show. Is they're funny. It's funny because they're stupid.
I've seen a few films lately where everyone is a bad person. Like
it's a good dynamic when the characters are irredeemable bad people. But we know that, and we're
like
made to see that. But if it's like Pixels or literally any Adam Sandler movie, and the characters are assholes, but we're meant to root for these people, that's not how you do it.
I think
the whole point of having an ensemble of characters who are irredeemable bad people is so that we can laugh at them, not with them.
I think that you're giving
why Always Sunny in Philadelphia is hilarious.
You're giving Pixels too much credit by calling them characters as opposed to Adam Sandler. That's just him. It's just him in a film.
Okay.
And then some people.
Okay. But he's acting like a complete asshat for the whole movie, and we're meant to root for this character.
He's a lovable asshole. He's
not even lovable.
He's
though.
Not.
No.
So like,
he's
recently,
just an asshole.
There was the TV series of the year, Wake and Fright, the two-parter, and
I missed that.
No one is good.
Yeah.
Everyone is a bad person and makes bad decisions, and everyone's life is worse off because no one is doing anyone any favors.
Yeah.
And similar with Baby Driver, where I watched that just. No one in... Okay, maybe... Okay, Deborah and...
Deborah and Baby.
And
Baby's
dad.
His baby daddy.
Baby's okay. He's at least a nice enough character.
Oh yeah, he has to do some bad things, but still I don't know if I agree with every choice that he makes. But then even still, he's in situations where he has to, where he's under a lot of pressure, and people that go, well, if I was them, I would do it like this. And studies show that if you do it like this, then you live and you have a big penis. Those people,
because I lived and I have a big penis.
Yeah, those people haven't been under pressure, because when you get into that, you just use your lizard brain and you make and you steal baselines, and then you make poor decisions because you're under pressure.
Okay, go on with your Game of Thrones.
So with the Game of Thrones, is that people say, you know, there's so much tits, and there's like
tits
there's full frontal nudity, and there's like people get their heads lopped off, and it's this huge medieval thing, and and it's like, you know, gorgeous cinematography. All of that is peripheral to the point, because if it was all of that, it would be an Uwe Boll film and it would have no substance.
Yeah.
Well, Game of Thrones has those things in it.
Uwe Boll, I think it's pronounced.
Uwe.
He's a German.
Yeah, so in Deutsch manner.
Oh, whatever.
Uwe.
Yeah.
Well, everyone calls him Uwe Boll, so I'm just bringing Uwe. That out so people know who you're talking
Louis
about.
Louis, Dewey, and Uwe.
He's the fourth one. He makes shitty action movies.
Four ducks make a bad film, ba-boom.
Yeah.
They give it to Uncle Donald, he says...
They give it to Scrooge McDuck, and he funds the movie with his bajillion dollars.
He gives it to his...
A bajillion dollars?! Anyway, go on with the...
I thought sports were played outdoors. So with that, if Game of Thrones was just that, it would be bad.
Yeah.
But because it's all the other, like, the political drama, the fact that there's just, like, so much great, like, wordplay and repartee, and there's
and
tension.
Dragons.
And dragons. Because there's all those things in it, it makes it good, but because it's
and Peter Dinkles.
Petey Dinkles. Because it's got all of those things in it, it's good, but...
Yeah.
No, because it's got all the meat in it is good, and because it's seasoned well with sex and dragons, it's excellent.
Yeah.
And that's the difference. So, yeah, it'd be like, if you start off with a bad piece of meat, and then you throw, you know, salt and pepper on it, it's going to be atrocious.
Salt and pepper.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's like how some action movies can be just the action, but still be good. Like John Wick.
Yeah.
John Wick revolves almost purely about the action, but there's just enough amount of plot to keep it from being, you know, just an action movie.
But I don't think that pretends to be anything else.
No. Well, I mean, I think it helps the fact that the action is amazing. It's incredibly well choreographed and amazingly shot. So.
But you're going into it
and
knowing
Keanu
that it's going to be that.
And Keanu Reeves is a really good actor, both physically and like, performance-wise in this movie.
Yeah, he can say...
And the story is good enough that it drives the plot forward without feeling forced, or without, you know, feeling... You know, everything actually makes sense within the movie, because nothing is added on. We're given the bare minimum, and it works. It's one of the few movies where bare minimum amount of plot actually works for this film.
Well, in that case, yeah, it's purposeful, because you do it well, and if you add too many things, then it stops being what it was intended to be, and then it falls to pieces. But it's got a strong foundation, and you go there to see that. It'd be like if you wanted to go and. You know, if there are certain styles of music that only work well where it's just like one dude and one instrument, and then if you added, you know, 46 layers of guitars and synths and things, then it would just be a clusterfuck and it wouldn't be enjoyable anymore.
Yeah. And I mean, that's not to say that all movies can't have millions of plot lines going through them at once and still be good, and like they're always bad. Lord of the Rings movies do it amazingly.
Entirely lore. That is it. Lore the film, and then that's why they're 4.5 hours.
Well, really, to be honest, it's 3.5 hours of story with about 9 minutes of lore at the beginning.
Remember, Baggins lived in a hole in the side.
Yeah, but just got Kate Blanchett's little speech at the beginning of the movie. But the rest of the movie is actually just plot.
He got priced out of his house in Sydney, so he lives in the grass now.
Yes. You want to end it?
Yeah, we can end it.
Okay, bye.